All right, it is 12:15 and it's time for our lunch presentation. Please keep enjoying your lunch and we'll get started with our presentation on accessing and managing digital assets after death. And our presenters for this session are Mighty Elordre, close enough? Okay. And Mighty is an associate with Osborne Heldman Scott Neasley and Stanton. Sorry about that. She focuses her practice in the area of fiduciary litigation, primarily involving trust, estates, and guardianship disputes. She also handles all types of civil appeals, especially those arising from involvements in trusts, estates, wills, probates, and guardianship matters. And then Haley Hanners has the other half of the presentation, and she's also an associate with Osborne Heldman. And her practice consists of estate, charitable planning, and the administration of complex trusts and decedents' estates. And she also practices in the area of foreign probate, asset protection, and international taxation. Ladies?
Great, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Maite Lordui, and this is Haley Hanners, and we're here to talk to you about accessing and managing digital assets after somebody has died. This paper was originally written by Jason Scott and Michael Neasley about 10 years ago, and we just wanted to say thank you to them for letting us use this paper and expand upon it in order to include the new updates in technology and the law that have happened in the last 10 years. We believe this topic is particularly important today, more than ever, given that everybody stores essentially their entire lives online. They keep everything from correspondence to pictures, music, videos, important documents, money, sometimes even their art. And as attorneys that represent personal representatives, we need to know how to be able to access these things when we're helping to administer an estate. And in addition to the emotional significance of a lot of these assets, there could also be real monetary value at stake given the rise in popularity of cryptocurrencies and NFTs in the last years. But also there can be real informational value with these assets. It used to be the case that when a person died, you could go into their home and look through their physical papers and documents to gather the information needed to administer their estate, but nowadays, with everything going paperless, you need to be able to access these things online. And I'm going to cover kind of the definition of digital assets and go over some of the ownership and access issues associated with digital copyright and blockchain assets. And then Haley is going to cover the applicable Texas law and some planning considerations. So I've used the term digital assets now a number of times, and what do I mean when I say digital assets? I'm referring to any electronically stored content that an individual owns. And digital assets is a term that's defined by Texas law, and Haley's gonna cover the statutes and the exact language in a little bit. But when I say digital assets, I'm talking about anything that's like email, social media, books and movies that have been purchased online, and then blockchain assets like cryptocurrencies and NFTs. And these are also the type of assets that people believe that they own or have an interest in and that they consider to be their property. And most of us view digital assets as traditional property because we have the right to use the asset and exclude others from using it. And the concept of using something while simultaneously excluding others from using it are some of the key bundles of rights that property owners have in value. And another key right that comes along with property ownership is the ability to transfer something, especially at death. And this right to transfer is often restricted in digital assets because digital assets are created and controlled by contracts. And when I was doing research for this paper, I came across various articles that questioned whether it was better to view digital assets through the lens of property or whether it was better to think of them as contracts. And I found that discussion of property versus contract to be very interesting, and I think that perhaps might shape how we view the law regarding digital assets in the future.